I just felt like I was hitting brick wall after brick wall. Like, I wanted to succeed with beatboxing and actually make money with it. And I was praying, like, when the heck is something gonna happen for me?
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenged their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there's so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, and more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about how coping with a mental health crisis launched a career. I'm joined today by Parker Kane. He's a beatboxing motivational speaker and host of the podcast Upbeat with Parker Kane. Parker, hi, welcome.
Thank you so much, Julie, for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's my treat, and we should probably just get this out of the way. Beatboxing is what exactly?
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with beatboxing, it is essentially the art of making drum noises with your mouth. I could do a quick freestyle for you.
That would be great. Help us understand what we're talking about here.
Okay.
So cool. Awesome. Thank you, Parker. Okay, well, I'm really excited to hear this story, to find out exactly how beatboxing became part of your whole thing now, as a speaker and author and podcaster. And before we get into that story specifically, I do just want to let listeners know that part of Parker's story involves feeling suicidal. So if that is something that you're not in a spot to hear right now, please take care of yourself and wait till you're in a spot where you feel supported. But I do hope that you'll listen, because Parker's story is really important and ultimately really hopeful. And of course, if you need support right now or know someone who does, the National Suicide and Crisis Hotline is really a great resource for people in crisis and those looking to support them. All you have to do is dial 988. Okay, so Parker Kane, set up your stick with it moment for us. What's the background that we need to know?
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it. But essentially, I started beatboxing when I was 9 years old. And it was during a time, actually, that I was going through my parents' divorce. And beatboxing was something I saw Justin Timberlake do with the boy band NSYNC. And I loved it, you know, a little kid in the 90s. And so I grabbed hold of that and I just was obsessed with it. And, you know, at the time, I didn't think anything of it other than I thought it was cool. But looking back, I realized that that became a very important thing in my life that I knew at that time I had control over. It was my safe zone. So beatboxing became like a safe place for me. And it was something I just always wanted to pursue. Even up through college, you know, I still had this big dream of mine alive of wanting to be a professional beatboxer, whatever that meant. And you can imagine, you know, throughout all those years, all the people that are like, well, that's a cool hobby, but you can't make money doing that. And you should really pick something to go to college for. And so I was going to college actually to be a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse anesthetist too. And I was kind of living this double life of one was like my passion and my dream and how I wanted to change the world with beatboxing. And the other side was more of the societal norms, I guess. And the more I pursued that, going to college and stuff, the more I actually was, I guess, feeling a little bit like I was suffocating because I was putting what I liked doing on the back burner. And the more I ignored it and the more I pursued other things, the more unhappy I got. And I felt like, for whatever reason, I just couldn't get a breakthrough. And, you know, being someone who believes so heavily in a loving Heavenly Father and God, you know, and building a relationship through prayer and everything, I was praying, like, when the heck is something going to happen for me? You know, like, this is, I've put in the work. I've done everything, you know, to get where I am with this talent. And I don't have any poor intentions. Like, I want to go uplift the world. Like, why do I keep hitting dead end after dead end? And so I think rather than someone saying I can't do it, it was more just like I was starting to believe it just wasn't the right path for me. And so I started to kind of bury it.
Yeah. So this is where we're just about to the stick with it moment then for you, the moment where you had to make a tough choice. Take us to that point. What was your state of mind?
Yeah. So it was hard because, you know, being in college, you had so many friends and people around you that were very positive, very upbeat. Let's go hang out. Let's go do this. And I was someone who was starting to say no to going to outings. You know, I just wanted to be alone. I was buried in the work and in the chase for the next dollar. You know, I was going to school, working, doing everything I could. You know, this is a long stretch of time where it just got worse and worse and worse to where I just didn't want to even go out and do anything and be around anyone. Mm. And on a night where I was particularly struggling, I had kind of a last prayer moment where I was ready and in the mindset of just wanting to call it quits. And, you know, if it wasn't meant for me, like, then what's the point, you know? And I started to feel...
Like, call it quits on life, I mean.
Yeah, like, call it quits on pursuing beatboxing, but also just, you know, what's the point of life? I can't get money, I can't get a girlfriend, you know, I can't get good friends that actually care. Like, I got to a really negative mindset because a lot of that's not even true. It's just what I was telling myself in my head.
Yeah, you were depressed. It sounds like you were, you know, had fallen into a depression and isolating yourself.
Yeah, so I got to a point where I didn't want to keep going. And I said this last prayer, like, I wouldn't recommend praying to God like this, but this is just what I did in that moment. I was mad, you know, I was yelling at him. I was crying. I was saying, you know, why isn't this for me? I've done everything right. Like, I'm worthy of whatever you could send my way, and you're just not sending anything my way. And it was a real kind of battle with God. And I, in a way, gave an ultimatum of like, I need to see something or I'm out. You know, and that night, shortly after that prayer, two things happened. One, I rolled over on my side. I was crying on the floor. And I saw my dog, Jesse, who was like my companion dog. And the first thought I had was, well, I'm not going to leave you. You know, like, how could I leave you? And who's going to feed you tomorrow? And I started like having all these thoughts. And then I had my best friend, Sean. He called me. Again, shortly after this prayer, saying, hey man, do you want to go for a late night McDonald's run with some of our roommates and friends? And it was like midnight. And then, again, normally at around that time, I'd be saying, no, I'm good. I'm staying in tonight or whatever. But this particular time, I was like, what if this is the answer to that prayer? You know, so I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go. I'll link up with them, go to McDonald's.
This is the moment. This is the stick with it moment where you chose to stay open to the possibility when you were tired, not feeling up to it, had been in the habit of not going out, maybe didn't even want to go out, right?
Yeah.
Like just being able to sort of, to your credit, in that moment say, okay, I'm going to do the thing that's the least comfortable for me in this particular moment, which is go out.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in that state of mind, because I was just crying, you know, praying, mad at God, didn't want to do anything. Like, it was a whole event in my room that night.
I mean, were you doing the whole, like, you say yes, and then you're like, I'm going to call him back and say no, or I'm just going to text him and bail out, or while they're on their way to pick you up.
I was all for it, just because I was hoping, I guess, that something would happen, which... This is why it's a powerful story, I think, and why I've been able to share it kind of all over is because of the randomness of it, the weirdness of it, the pieces that just don't make sense.
Yeah.
And you know that it comes from above, you know? Like, you know that that's just something you could have never, ever thought would happen or planned to happen. It just happened that way. But yeah, I went to this McDonald's with my friends, and they knew that I could beatbox, and they actually knew that I could beatbox with a McDonald's cup because I'd shown them as a joke earlier on. But we were with a bunch of people who didn't know that, and it was a really busy night apparently at that McDonald's because every seat was full. But yeah, they challenged me like, hey, can you beatbox with this McDonald's cup and we'll get everyone in here to watch? And I was like nervous too. Like, I don't want everyone in the store to look at me, you know? So, but they hushed everyone down. They had me beatbox with a McDonald's cup. Everybody's phones went out and started recording me.
Beatboxing with a McDonald's cup. So we have a little bit of the audio. We're going to listen to just a little bit, and then I need you to explain to me exactly what's going on here. I've seen the video. People will be able to see the video. You're kind of moving the straw up and down and like blowing into it at the same time that you're, I don't know. Let's listen, and then you help me understand how you're making these noises.
Okay.
Like breathing into the straw, is that right?
Yeah, so a straw, you know, the top of a straw, I looked at it as kind of like the same thing as a flute or a piccolo or some kind of instrument.
Okay.
And so I blow over the top of the straw like it's a flute or something, and I realized that the further out the straw is of the cup and of the liquid, the lower a pitch. And then the further in the straw is, the higher a pitch. And so when you move it up and down, it's changing pitch from low to high. And then when you're beatboxing, the air just kind of comes out of your mouth. And I'm like, well, I could beatbox and blow over the top of it and change the pitch. And it just created like this whole dubstep-like instrument.
Yeah, that is very cool. All right, so you're doing this in a McDonald's at midnight.
Yeah, and it was received really well. Like, everybody cheered. Everyone pulled out their phones. They recorded it. My friend, actually, and this just goes to show, like, my state of mind, too. My friend Sean, the guy who invited me out there, he showed me the video that he got on his phone, and he asked me, do you want this? And I remember, like, so vividly that moment, and I almost feel like this is me turning down what God had for me because he's like, do you want this? And I was like, no, like, that's garbage. Like, why would anyone even want to see that online, you know? And my friend's like, well, I'm going to post it, you know? So he went and he posted it on his Facebook. He had like 300 or 400 friends on Facebook or something. And that morning when we woke up, it was like 56,000 views. And by the end of that day, it was over 1 million views. And then by the end of that week, it was like over 10 million views. And it went on to get over 1 billion streams online. And all kinds of opportunities opened up from that, you know, an official McDonald's commercial and a job with McDonald's for a year, like an internship that they helped me with. They helped pay with like my student housing and stuff. And it totally was just this catalyst to a career that I never saw around the corner.
So this was in 2015-ish?
Yeah, 2015, October 4th, 12:14 a.m. That was what the video was.
Yeah. So did you stop doing nursing school like right away? How did it all kind of play out to the point now where you've like people pay you to come speak and beatbox and tell your story? And you've got this podcast called Upbeat with Parker Kane. And I know you've told me you're working on a book, right? So just kind of tell us how that played out for you.
Yeah. So, and I never officially got into nursing school. I was still just in the prereqs for that, but it was about a year and a half, 2 years into college. And I don't know, I still think about this if it was a mistake or not, but I did end up finishing college, but I switched majors to do communications, marketing, advertising, that kind of thing. But I did go the next like 2 or 3 years. But the video, the biggest like unexpected thing with the video for me was I thought initially, because I was making these music covers on YouTube at the time, I thought I was going to be more of like a YouTube creator and musician and doing collaborations with like Vocal Point and different artists like Alex Boye and stuff. And so I was trying to pursue that route. But what kept happening was my email and my social media DMs, you know, everything was filling up with inquiries asking me to come speak and share my story at events. And I mean, high schools, colleges, corporate events, creator leadership summits, all kinds of different gatherings. And my story, well, it taught me that, you know, I'm a mental health advocate and my story can change people's lives and help uplift people. And beatboxing is kind of like that X factor that like makes it entertaining too. So it's become more about the impact than anything else. Like, I don't care about YouTube and how many views I could get on a cover video or something, but I do care about talking to 1,000 people in a room and, you know, everyone's feeling the chills. And then afterwards, you know, there are a few full circle moments too that just have changed me forever. One of the most recent ones, actually, I was at an event in Orlando this January 2024. And I was at a dental event and I happened to meet a chiropractor. So just another one of those things that doesn't make sense. But the chiropractor, he came up to me after I beatboxed and he was just almost in full tears. And he was like, "You are not going to believe this, but you and your story and your podcast is why my son is still here. You saved my son's life." And his son, you know, is a chubby dude in glasses in Colorado who didn't believe in himself. And through the content and the messages that I put out, you know, it helped him keep pushing along and work on uncovering his passions and what he can do, you know.
Yeah, it's a great story. Parker, thank you so much for sharing that. Where can people find you?
The best way is my website, parkercane.co. So not .com, but .co. Mm-hmm. And Kane is K-A-N-E. So yeah, parkercane.co. And that'll have, I guess, links to anywhere else they'd want to chat with me.
And of course, you've got the podcast Upbeat with Parker Kane, which has kind of an entrepreneurial bent, right?
Yeah. So it's, I guess, anyone that is trying to build their own side hustles or personal brand. And we talk a lot about, you know, those ins and outs of building a business, but also pairing it with the right kind of authentic messaging and, you know, sharing your story and the why behind it, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Parker, it's been great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Julie, for having me.
So thanks for getting uncomfy with us today. As an introvert with a tendency to turn down invitations from friends to go out and socialize, I can't help but wonder if I would have been as willing to get out of my comfort zone in that really dark moment that Parker described. I hope so. Has there been a time in your life when choosing to get or stay uncomfortable has led to something good? Reach out and tell me about it. Our email is uncomfy@byu.edu. We might even invite you on the show to talk about it. Meantime, if you're looking for more thoughtful ways to practice sticking with moments that challenge you, check out my other podcast called Top of Mind. Each episode dives into one tough topic, like race or gender roles in marriage. And we don't take a side. We're out to learn and to feel new empathy so we can become better citizens, kinder neighbors, and more effective advocates. You can find Top of Mind on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen. Uncomfy is a BYU Radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it with help from Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week.